Since Joe got to tell R.C. Sproul's stories last week, I will do so too. I remember R.C. Sproul teaching on this. He goes, you know, what if I was teaching the gospel, proclaiming the gospel as I just did, and now, believe it or not, an angel appears by my side. And that angel says, don't listen to this false gospel from R.C. Sproul. Don't listen to him. I am now going to tell you the true gospel, which is totally different than what you just heard from Dr. Sproul. R.C. said, if that happened, this is what he'd do. He'd take that angel and kick him out of the room. Now, why would he say that? That was a rather startling thing of self-confidence to hear. And the answer is, turn to Galatians 1. And we'll see why Sproul said that. This is on page 972, if you're using the Black Bibles. Just one paragraph, Galatians 1, 6 through 9, and you'll hear something about an angel here in this paragraph. This is a letter of Paul to the Galatians. Those are new Christians who are living in the area of Galatia, which is modern-day Turkey. Beginning at verse 6. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some of you, some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Those are such strong words. Let him be accursed, or other translations, let him be condemned. Judge, this is the worst, most serious stuff. And even if an angel does, an angel from heaven, actually sounds like an angel from hell to me, but even if it's an angel of heaven or falling or something and says, don't listen to this gospel, Paul is saying, hey, I got this gospel from God. This is the thing that saves. This is the real thing. And the apostles, Peter, James, and John, they confirm this. This is the real deal. I don't even care if you hear a supernatural vision or something. It's alternative to this. It's not the real deal. Let them be accursed. Let them be condemned. They're trying to, he says, distort the gospel of Christ, the grace of Christ, verse 6. Paul is upset in the book of Galatians. I always think you can learn a lot about a person. Learn a lot about yourself. And you look at what really makes you angry. And you see Paul's fire in Galatians. Because the true gospel of Christ is being corrupted by a false gospel. Supplementing Jesus is what's going on here. Supplementing Jesus are first of the three groups of false gospels. Supplementing, meaning, hey, Jesus is great. Jesus is really important, sent by God, whatever you want to say. But here's what you also need. We need to add to Jesus. We need to supplement his work with something else. And we're back to Galatians for an example of that. You wonder, what's an example? What do you mean by this, supplementing Jesus? Well, it's what's going on in Galatians. And to make this quick, I thought I'd cover two verses in chapter 2 of Galatians. What is the let's add to Jesus problem here, the false gospel that Paul's reacting against? Galatians 2, verses 15 and 16. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. What does that mean? Works of the law. This is God's law, not Roman law. God commanded things to Moses and the Israelites, like love your neighbor as yourself. And also for males to be circumcised, and also to eat kosher, a bunch of different things. And if you do these things, these are the works of the law. And it was really tempting to add this to the gospel of Jesus. Supplementing Jesus. And saying, hey, God commanded those things for a reason. Circumcision, kosher eating, all these things. You need to do these too. To be really accepted by God, to be righteous in God's sight. You need to do these things. Wow, what a tempting thing to believe, because God really did command these things to Israel. Circumcision, eating kosher. God had good reasons for that, to keep them separate from the pagan Gentiles and to give them an idea of what holiness is, a kind of a symbolic lesson. There's good reasons. But now that the Messiah had come, these things are not needed, and we are fully saved. But like Christ did, we don't have to add our works. Now, if this was a different talk, a different sermon, we could talk about how good works are important. We were created to do good works, we're told. Ephesians 2:10, to love your neighbor. These are important things, good works. But you know what? Good works become awful works. We think they say that. We think we need those in addition to the cross of Christ. That's a false gospel. That's the first category, supplementing Jesus. And usually what's supplemented is something we do, some kind of tradition, some kind of extra ritual, some kind of secret teaching, something added. And that is a false gospel. Let's go to the second category. The second category is improving Jesus. A false gospel where it said, basically, hey, I like Christianity. The Jesus of the Bible and traditional Christianity is pretty good, yet there's some problems. We need to progress Christianity past the old version. And so today the most chosen term here is progressive Christianity. I want you to see that word progress in there. Jesus is great, but how do we improve? Now, 100 years ago, this had affinity with what we would have called liberal Christianity or modernist Christianity. But they all have something in mind here that what you see in Scripture and what traditional Christianity taught, we can improve. After all, wouldn't it be great Jesus just never talked about hell? Couldn't we improve Jesus if he didn't talk about hell? If he were, you know, about love alone. And it doesn't sound like hell is that way, does it? So wouldn't that improve it? Wouldn't improve if he didn't talk about the final judgment, the sheep and the goats. That would be progress. Wouldn't it be an improvement if Jesus would just clearly affirm all our sexual activity? Wouldn't it be an improvement if Jesus never said anything like, I am the way, the truth, the life. The truth, the way, the life. Not multiple options, multiple paths. But wouldn't it be great if Jesus didn't accept worship? Wouldn't it be an improvement if we kind of got rid of some of these things? In the 90s, I went to the most well-to-do wedding I've ever been to. There was actually some famous politicians there. You would know their names. It was a distant relative of mine marrying someone famous, kind of. And so we went to it. It's like country mouse going to see city mouse, you know. And the wedding was performed by a husband and wife pastoral team who were part of a big denomination you would recognize. And I got to talk to these pastors afterwards, trying to figure out what do they believe, where are they coming from. And they said some curious things to me. And so finally I just asked, John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What do you think? And they said to me, yeah, I don't think Jesus said that. Well, it's in the Bible. Well, I think I was invented. Well, that in their minds was an improvement to get that out of the Bible. There's no good reason to not believe that Jesus said that. But it's popular, and it seems to improve Jesus. Not make him so narrow-minded. To not make him so, like he thinks he's God or something. And to not make us so socially, are we going to be socially divisive? If we think Christianity and Christ is the only way, you know? Jesus warned us about that, right? So there's such a temptation for improvement to make Jesus kind of like whatever culture is at that moment. To him reflect current cultural values. That would be progress. Progressive Christianity. H. Richard Niebuhr said something about this almost 90 years ago. He said, here's the result of this. You end up with a God without wrath, who brought men without sin, into a kingdom without judgment, through the ministry of a Christ without a cross. What sounds like little improvements ends up being the invention of a completely different thing. Number three, we've seen supplementing Jesus. We've seen improving Jesus, apparently, as intended at least, and now replacing Jesus. And this says, forget Jesus, salvation is real. But let me tell you where it can really be found. So I say false gospel in that it's saying something is happening in history. I have news for you, good news. Of salvation, of deliverance, it just has nothing to do with Jesus. Now, some of you know Vern Poitras. He was one of my professors. And Dr. Poitras taught us this, that Marxism is a great example of a false gospel that looks a lot like Christianity, removing Jesus. Let me put this in a slide as he taught it to us years ago. Under the false gospel of Marxism, the gospel becomes the communist revolution has begun. That's the good news. And it will usher in a utopian society. Theology then becomes understanding the laws of economics. Buying and selling. The owners of the means of production. Proletariat who work. It's all about economic relations, and if you understand the laws of those, you're on to
a new kind of theology.
Sin is reduced from all the evil things to really one important evil thing, and that's economic oppression. And economic oppression, unfortunately, is real. And is it sin? But it's reduced to that. And specifically, it's the factory owners oppressing the factory workers, which clearly delineates who the good guys are and who the bad guys are, instead of us all being bad guys. Evangelism becomes a Marxist call to workers to unite and fight. Join us. The church becomes the Communist Party. Heaven is a future communist utopia. And maybe most telling of all, God is humanity. Humans in their economic relations, but also the human government that oversees all this. I'll never forget. I used to teach computer classes. I was teaching a class in San Francisco about 15 years ago. And I had a Jewish man in my class who invited me out for dinner, took me to a nice place, we had a great time talking. He grew up in the Soviet Union. I think Ukraine. And he was telling me what it was like, and he says, you know, they kept telling us there's no God. There's no God. But there was a God. There was a government. The government replaced God. God becomes humanity. And if you're a little scared by that, you should be. Explains so much of the bloodshed of the 20th century. Realize this is a false gospel where in the end humanity replaces God. Well, those are three categories of false gospels. Watch out for them. One that adds to Jesus, supplements Jesus. One that seeks to improve the Jesus that you see in Scripture. And then thirdly, one that keeps the system of Christian truth in many ways and proclaims the gospel. Good news, but it's lacking Jesus. It's replaced it with some kind of godless, Christless version. Final thoughts. I want you to imagine that there is, we just came through a pandemic, some horrible disease, affliction, virus. It just so happens there is a pill that will cure it. This little pink pill will cure it. And then the misunderstanding gets out that any pink pill will cure it. And people start selling any pill coated now in pink. Snake oil salesmen making money. And this starts to catch on, and people go to the store, they see all kinds of pink pills, and you know, maybe because you're a doctor, maybe because you're a scientist, maybe because you read the literature, you know, it's not the color pink, it's the active ingredients. And they don't all have the active ingredients to heal. And you start telling people about the real pink pill that cures. And other people start to get offended. Who are you to judge the other pill? You're stirring up division. Divisiveness. You're causing problems for the local store owner. And you start to be called narrow-minded. And divisive. And stirring up trouble. There's something wrong with you, morally. And that's what happened to Paul in Galatians, where he's accused of those things. Why won't you be a little more broad-minded, Paul? And of course, Paul is saying, listen, I'm saying this because I care. I'm saying this because I know the right pill. It's given me life. It's healed me. It's the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work, his cross. Let us not add to it. We can't improve it. Let us not replace him. I want you all to experience the same thing. Joy, salvation, healing. And misunderstood. We will be misunderstood as narrow-minded, as divisive, and Jesus warned us about that. But let us keep marching forward with that conviction that what we want is the real medicine, the real thing, and we want our neighbors to know it. Even those who we might call our enemies in some sense, they might call us their enemies. We want them to know the truth. But there's a kingdom in heaven, and we're citizens of it. And we love this nation, but this nation will fail. It'll be substandard compared to the kingdom of heaven. All these nations will fail. The good news, one way to say the good news, is that the kingdom of heaven is real. And it started to invade this world 2,000 years ago when the king came to earth and healed people and raised the dead and died on a cross for our sins, and rose triumphantly, and he's coming back. And he's the way, the truth, and the life. To hold on to the true gospel means, brothers and sisters, to hold on to the true gospel with all you have means to refuse false gospels and to help others. Father, we rejoice that the gospel has so many wonderful things about it, so many ways to talk about it, so many aspects to it, so many facets, such beauty, such truth, such power. Lord, help us to love it like a pearl of great price, that we would sell everything for it. Lord, we want to know your gospel better. Help us to say no to false gospels. Keep us from error, from sin, we pray. And help us as a church here at New Life to reflect that, a love for the true gospel, as we look forward to the Lord who returns from heaven one day. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.